Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
It's Honey, You're Ruining Our Kid, the parenting podcast from the Irishmen Abroad Podcast Network with me, Jarlath, and Tina.
Hello there.
Tina's presidential week, presidential election week here in Ireland, and things are heating up. The dirtiest campaign in history, they're calling it.
Well, things are getting bitchy, but it seems to be just bitchy on from one side.
Smear the bejesus out of her is the phrase that will probably appear on Reeling in the Years. That's what's going on. If you're not familiar with the Irish political scene, what we're showing our kids right now over here is how to go low. When they go low, they really go low.
Yeah.
And I wanted to start today's podcast with the question, Tina. What are we showing our kids? And when our kids see this, how do you explain to them? No, that's just politics. People take shots at each other in the name of getting elected.
It definitely has an impact. Definitely has an impact. It goes in. And I think we saw it firsthand. When we were in England and around the time of Boris and everything like that, there was an election in our school.
Mm.
And
oh yeah, I remember this now.
Our kid was one of the kids running for
oh my god, yeah,
student council president.
Yeah.
Now, when I say that the British government influenced how a lot of kids behaved,
how they campaigned,
and their election. Now, luckily for our kid, he comes from a family of silly willies, and also his dad had run for election in college, and we won. Because you knew you have to keep a lightness and you have to make it a bit silly and you have to be, you know. We were very much influencing Mikey when they were, like, he was quite stressed out because
you're forgetting the other election.
What other?
Where he ran on the platform of more dinosaurs in the classroom.
Oh, that was when he was in first class.
In his first year in school.
Yeah.
He ran on the platform, he promised the class more dinosaurs in the classroom.
Oh my god, he did.
And afterwards, I asked him, has anybody come up to you about the dinosaurs once he'd been elected, about when the new dinosaurs will be entering the classroom? And he said that those were election promises.
Yeah, he said, I did what it took.
I can't remember what the wording was.
What did he say?
But it was very much
we were
like,
floored.
Come on, guys. I had to say what I had to say to get elected.
And he was six.
And you think
old.
It isn't going in.
Yeah.
But like, it is a wider question though, Tina, though, that like the news is on in the background. There is absolute violence and just the craziest news in the world.
Yeah, but I guess what I was trying to say was that, you know, one of the ladies is not going low. And I feel like at the time when our kids were going through that presidential thing, we were able to keep our kids steady that way and not retaliate and go low. And when it came to them doing their speeches, staying bright and not attacking
the person,
the other kids who were running, is what helped Mikey actually become school president. He got elected and he was so proud of himself.
You're so proud.
I'm still so
She's
proud
still
of him.
So proud.
Because he didn't believe in himself and it took a lot for him not to retaliate to things that were being said. Like, it really got dirty.
Got dirty. But, you know, this campaign over here, if you haven't been following it, two candidates, both female, and one male candidate for probably the biggest party in the country, who dropped out on the basis that he did somebody out of some money. I wondered if that kind of aspect of it was something that we have literally not discussed this till coming on air. Because I genuinely wanted to get Dina's opinion on the, you know, how you lead it in terms of kids are all chatting about the election now.
Yeah,
electing the
because
president.
Of how
and it seems like to get elected president over here, you need to have the thickest skin and the ability to take all of these lumps and have made no mistakes in your past.
But I think the media in Ireland has been really strange to watch during this election. They seem very obviously aligned with certain candidates and very obviously will do anything to oppose or muddy the waters of the other.
It can also be just that it's, you know...
it's been super obvious.
But it can also just be that they have questions and they think this gets more clicks. Like, it, to me, when I look back on it, on this campaign, which is nearing its end, it'll be done on Friday, thank God. The kind of gurning for interest on the part of the media has been the hardest thing to watch, because they're like, oh, maybe people will buy the paper on the basis of me asking this question over and over again. Everyone trying to generate a meme or a moment.
Yeah, but also there's been so many questions not asked. Like Jim Gavin, he committed a crime. What he did was horrific, but there's still sympathy for him out there. No one has had the guts to go, this was wrong. What he did was absolutely wrong. He absolutely had to pull out of the race. That poor fella who was so
still,
down
still
on it.
Still hasn't got the money back.
Still hasn't got his money. And then, you know, this whole thing they do to Catherine Connolly with the Vulture Fund things. Why has no one said, yeah, okay, she was a solicitor. She had to represent who she had to
represent.
Barrister, sorry. But who fucking came up with the Vulture Funds? Fine Gael.
Wonder whose hand was that?
Yeah, whose hand did that?
Yeah, look, it is a question, though, for our kids of right and wrong.
Sorry, yeah,
I'm
getting
started. And when you're trying to teach your kids right and wrong, and you're discussing at the dinner table that this person... held this job in the past, and they're literally trying to dredge up dirt on each other.
Yeah,
it does raise questions for you and your family, and trying to talk to your kids about what's right and what's wrong. And I don't know if we've covered ourselves in glory throughout this campaign. I think everybody is looking into the distance now, because that is how it feels to be here. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners across the world must feel the same way when attempting to discuss the news with their kids. I know we've tons of listeners in America, and the No Kings marches took place this past weekend. And again, how are you explaining
how
that?
Are you
Why
explaining
don't you get
that?
In touch
I
with
mean,
us?
Please get in touch. We're off to Chicago this weekend.
We're going to Chicago.
I am so frightened. Charlotte thinks I'm being an idiot.
Yeah, but you're drinking the Kool-Aid if you think that Chicago is on fire. These cities where the army have been brought in.
It's not so much that.
There's
like,
nothing wrong.
We were there in April, right? Mm. Not Chicago, New York and stuff.
Yeah.
I can't remember now, but we feel like we did a lot in April. Yeah. But people were so sad. I'm not sure if I'm able for that sadness again. Mm. Like people are walking around the streets, absolute bewilderment.
Yeah, there seems to be a bit more defiance on the streets now. And defiance is definitely a theme in this week's episode. We've got three banger questions from you guys, the listeners. Thank you, as always, for submitting your questions. It's easy to submit one. honeyyouareruiningourkid@gmail.com. We cannot do the show without your questions. A lot of you get in touch with questions and say, don't put this on the air. Don't be concerned. You will always remain anonymous on Honey, You're Ruining Our Kid. But let's get to question number one and get going with season 4, episode 4 of Honey, You're Ruining Our Kid. Our first question today is about when is too soon. And that is, when do I potty train? When do I insist my kid goes to their own room at night? When is too, when are they old enough to watch certain things? These questions of scheduling in parenting are probably the most common thing that you get.
Yeah, and you know what? The when always leads to the problem. Because if you're too rigid and strict about the whens, you can bring pressure to those situations. Whereas it should never be when is it right by everyone else's standards. It's when does it feel right to you?
Mm.
You really have to trust your mommy and daddy guts on these kind of issues, because when it feels right for your child isn't going to be when it feels right for your other child or another child down the road. It's also individual. And that's why I always think, don't do anything unless you feel like, yeah, Are my kids ready for this?
Well, this question relates to independence and specifically that tween age.
Okay. Where, scary. Yeah,
they're
scary.
Still your baby. They're still your baby. But these they think they're like totally grown up now.
Yeah.
Like, I'll never forget that period where they were kind of making plans. And you're like, how you think you're going to get to these things?
I know, that was really upsetting you.
Upsetting. It's like, and all the parents around us were like, yeah, apparently they've made a reservation at a restaurant. And yeah. You're like, oh yeah.
Yeah, but the crazy thing about that was we were all like, this is ridiculous. But who's dropping the kids?
Yeah, yeah. Nobody stood up to them. No. But I don't know if you, like you said a bunch in the first bit there about what's right for you? Use your parents' gut. I had no parenting gut. You had way more experience with kids when we had our kid. And I just was like, a lot of people are terrified of these decisions, these choices. Mm. And that's where this question comes from. Jonathan T and I need a bit of advice. I have two teenagers, a boy and a girl. They are twin 14-year-olds. They've always been extremely independent. I returned to work when they started secondary school, and they've been home alone after school for a few hours for nearly 2 years now, which is, I think, brilliant and super healthy.
And obviously she had no choice.
No option. Yeah. Yeah, that's where we live
and
right now.
And they're together. They're not on their own.
Exactly. So my question is, at what age should you trust your kids to have a friend at your house without an adult home? I'm just worried that while I can trust them together as twins, can I trust them not to get up to no good when they are all together?
So, yeah, well, you know what she means there. The friend divilment energy.
Yeah. Well, if it's the 80s, whenever you like. I mean, you can have toddlers in the house together. Yeah. No, this has definitely changed, hasn't it?
Well, there's two bits to this. Because first of all, you need to know, can you trust your kid not to go bloody bananas when they have a friend over? And the second thing is, you got to get permission from that kid's parent too.
Yeah.
It might not even be a runner, because will a parent of our generation who's like super worried about their kids the whole time be okay letting their kid over to a house when they're only 14 that they know there isn't a parent in?
If you're not okay, but they're saying, but like, his parents have no problem with it, why do you have a problem with it?
Yeah, well, there you just have to stand on your hind legs and be like, well, those are the rules. But like, that can cause issues. Like, I had a very good friend who definitely took offense when I wouldn't allow our son
sleep over.
Like, she definitely.
What's your issue with sleepovers?
I just think, why would your child and oh, are you laughing? Why? But like, sleepovers are, we know, like, I'm sorry, no matter how much you trust the people you're leaving with your kids with, that's when the bad stuff happens. And I'm not willing to put my child in a vulnerable situation like that. Mm. I just think.
And when you say bad stuff, you mean kind of recklessness, showing off, exploratory stuff.
No, I mean abuse. I mean, they see abuse.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you're putting them into another home who have totally different rules and ideals.
And you don't know who's there
when. You don't know who's there when. And I mean, all the horror stories, I've just seen too much.
Right.
I've seen too much and I just couldn't do it.
So if you were president, you would ban sleepovers. I'm running on the platform that I don't think that children should be allowed to sleep over at each other's houses.
I don't trust anybody.
If you'll allow me to finish.
I just think you can't trust anybody these days.
There's some fierce blackguards out there and we're turning a blind eye. My kid is ready, your kid isn't. Mm. This whole thing of, well, Mom, why are the other kids doing this?
Yeah.
And like, that must be such a big cause for arguments in houses.
Oh, big time.
On everything from pocket money.
Yeah, and you know what it does, Dar? It's the only time you hear your parents' voice in your head. You know, when you're the whole time going, I'm not
my house,
parent
my
like
rules.
That.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
So you wouldn't be in favor of having the friends over by
what
you're saying here.
I think she should go for it. I do. She's got two. She's got twin 14-year-olds. So, and one of them's a girl. And she's
just go for it. Is your advice?
I think she should. She's oh, they've
is
already
there
proven
a way to do this.
Yes, I'm getting
that,
there.
Okay, sorry.
Okay. She had. They've already proven they're trustworthy. She's been leaving them by themselves, and they haven't got up to no good. Mm-hmm. I'm supposing. Now I feel like she's allowing them another degree of responsibility and independence. And if the parent of that child is okay with them coming over, I think you need to lay down ground rules. And then it's very easy, because if they break the rules, they don't get to do it again.
Is there an argument for a Ring camera?
See, you're all about the cameras. You actually freak me out. I don't think Ring cameras are okay inside houses. You do. I think it's terrible. I think, like, how is a child ever supposed to feel like they've been trusted if there's a camera on them the whole time?
Well, there's a camera on them the whole time at school.
Yeah, but I just think when you're home, you should be able to relax. Like, have you seen that video of the dad who's gone completely viral?
Well, what if your kid is choking?
Oh, what? You're going to be watching the camera the whole time?
Or something is going down that you're like, oh, shit. Like, through the Ring camera, you can literally talk to them through the camera.
I just think it's, I don't know, it bangs off wrong to me. Like, I was just saying, that dad who's
going
viral. My house,
my rules, too.
That dad who's going viral at the moment, right? He came home from work. He thought he was in the house by himself.
Danger.
He starts dancing to music, and he's just having one of those buzzy moments that you get when you're on your own.
The wife released it.
The daughter.
Oh, no.
Like, and it's very cute and very funny. It's like, are you telling me you can't have a silly dance in your own house anymore?
In the nip.
Yeah, like, come on. Remember that couple at your show who had to watch their son have sex with his daughter all over their house? Because
their son have sex with their daughter?
Oh, no. His girlfriend.
His girlfriend was over. They came up to me after the show and they were like, you have no idea how much we needed that laugh. And I was like, well, what's going on? We're in Ireland on our holiday, and we have cameras in our house that our son does not know about. And let's just say he has defiled every
yeah,
room
but
in
I mean,
the house.
There's so much wrong with that.
Yeah, no, Tina.
Jared, we are not having...
There's a lot wrong with that particular situation, but I do think if she is concerned, then having cameras that they're aware of, that you can just say, listen, we have these for security. It will keep them on the straight and narrow, even if you never look in the camera.
I think you should be able to offer the trust, you know. I just think that's wrong. That's just me.
And are you not the same woman who kept a camera on her little boy while he slept until the age of...
8?
I think it was older than
no,
8.
No, it wasn't. He was 8. Excuse me.
You made a.
I had had a trauma. Yeah. I was afraid our son wasn't. I was very traumatized for a long time. I'm still a bit traumatized, but these days I get through it a bit more because he's much more annoying as a teenager.
Okay, so you'd had your trauma, and this is. I understood completely. I never ever argued against the camera.
Yeah.
What was the impact of him knowing his mom always had an eye on?
Well, he felt very safe.
He's
never had any issues with.
He felt very safe.
He never
we
left
never
his
had
bed.
Him leaving the bed, and he knew that if he called, he was heard.
Yeah, but the camera wasn't. It wasn't on all the time. It only came on if he made a noise.
Neither would the Ring doorbell camera. Yeah. I just think that even one camera there is enough.
Well, it's a good suggestion, and she might like it. For me personally, I think they're teenagers. For me, when I was doing that with Mikey, that was selfish because that was more me. I couldn't sleep unless I could hear him breathing, which is bananas.
Is there a better way of saying to your kid, let's say she decides no, there a better way of saying to your kid, this isn't happening? Without going, my house, my rules, and turning into that.
Oh,
ogre.
Absolutely. I mean, she should be able to sit them down and explain her reasons. Like, it's absolutely okay for her to say, I love that you want to have friends over. I think this is something we can work towards. I definitely think 14 is a bit young. How's about we see how this goes and we'll have that friend over at the weekend a bit? Because she's probably not getting to have friends over that much. You know, she might not even know this friend. I don't know any of our son's friends because we never see them.
Yeah, but you can't, but you got to ease in is what you're saying. That it, that like, the kids think that them being together in the house is the same. But it's not.
No.
Because it's when the one-upmanship and the showmanship, showing off, cool, watch this, begins.
But no matter how chill your kid is, the showing off kicks in.
But the other thing is, if we know anything about the generation of kids, it'll probably just be them sitting there on their phones.
Yeah.
For hours on end. Like, it might be the safest time to do this with teenagers because... they're so sedentary now that they're in a kind of comatose state on their phones, laughing and showing each other memes and videos for most of the time.
I guess, yeah, I don't really have a right or wrong answer for this lady. I think she should do what feels right to her. And if she's doing it, she needs to set out the ground rules for her kids. And if she's not doing it, she just needs to explain to them why she's not comfortable with it yet.
What if? And I'll finish on this.
Oh, God, I hate your what if. Sorry for doing that. That was a real...
What if there's one kid they have an issue with having over?
Oh, well, then that's so different. Then the mom has to be there. If there's some kids you genuinely do worry that your child's hanging out around with. And it's not... I never think it's okay to label a child as problematic or because there's always a reason. But if you can't trust that child as they are right now... I'm not saying that's how they'll be forever. It's okay for you not to want to leave your child with that child. That's absolutely fine.
But it also means that your kid doesn't get to hang out with the friends that you don't have an issue with. It's a thorny issue.
Yeah, I guess you just have to do what feels right to you. For me, I think having the two of them together, the twins, you've got the bit of support there. You know, it'd be different if they were on their own.
Well, I want to know, because this is such a... fantastic question, first of all, for sending it in. Thank you so much. But it opens our podcast into a whole new area of trust with teens.
Yeah.
And we'd love to hear your take on this. If you are a Ring doorbell subscriber with the camera in place, does your kid know about it? I mean, that's the other question here, is that if you have issues around it, I'm sure that there are people going, they don't know about the cameras, like that couple that came to me after the show.
Yeah, that poor couple. I bet they wish they told them.
And in that case, you, I bet they could unsee a lot of what they saw. They would. We'd love to hear from you, as always, honeyyourruiningyourkid@gmail.com. We've got to steam on to question number two. Just out of that last question, Tina asked, if she doesn't let them do it, will they just do it anyway?
Because I realised that's what I would have done.
Oh, shit. It's all coming out today on Honey, You're in Your Kid. Tina was a bowled child.
I wasn't bowled, but I would have been like...
That's bowled.
Is it?
That's bowled on a new level. Your parents said you're not allowed to have friends over and you're like, well, I'm going to do it anyway. Try to stop me.
Yeah, but you just make sure they're gone.
That's not the definition
of bowled. Before your mom comes home.
Escaping out the back window.
Jumping out the back window.
It's so funny that she talks about herself this way, guys, because you've no idea what a good girl she was for so long in our relationship.
I couldn't possibly do that, Jordan. You're shaming me on the back end.
Yeah, no, I am a little bit, because literally... She's just such a great human being to start out with. I had to corrupt her so slowly.
Well, I definitely had, I was very wary of boys.
Yeah.
But yeah. You also, you had a rep. You had a reputation.
I'm not even referring about the sexual side of things. I'm talking about, like, she was just a great student in college. I mean, just, you know, she doesn't agree with this because she knows that she ducked out of lectures to go to the bar.
Yeah.
By the time third year had hit. But, like, these kids, without the Ring doorbell.
Well, I was, that. I have a little neurosis where I can't do something wrong because I think it'll affect the rest of my life.
Right. Well, here's a great question to lead into this one.
Okay.
How close were you to the person your parents thought you were?
I don't think my parents ever believed how good I was actually being. I think they always...
They thought you were trying to trick them.
Yeah. Whereas I was genuinely never doing anything wrong because I was terrified in my head.
Of the consequences.
Like, even if I had a fesh, because I used to do a lot of Irish dancing. If I stepped out of place that morning before the fete,
jinxie.
I just thought, well, what's the point even going there? I'm not going to win anything.
I've jinxed myself. Yeah. Now. Yeah.
And I still do that a bit.
The power of jinx. Charlotte, touch wood. Last night in bed, I was touching wood for some shit.
We were watching a film yesterday.
Oh, God, touch wood.
And there was this guy who had this like crazy neurosis thing. And Jared was looking at me like, because I was like, who would be like that?
It was in Friends where the guy is afraid of farm animals. He's like, I can't because I know that they're only two doors away. That's Tina.
Yeah.
I won't tell you what her no, neuroses
because
are.
Because I
will just haunt her with them.
Yeah, and I'll just start getting sick.
And there's so fucking many of them. I definitely
What about you, Charlotte? Were you the kid your parents thought you were?
No.
No, in a good way.
I don't know if my parents know me now. I don't know. I couldn't tell you who they thought I was, but they definitely, all of our parents have an incorrect image of who we are.
I think most people have an incorrect image of you, because I think you are, and not just because I'm your wife.
Here we go, lads, get ready. Strap in, Jar. Here comes the insult.
No, you know I think you're the absolute sweetest, kindest, loveliest person in the world.
But
other people don't seem to see that.
Thanks for letting me know. Question number two. This is the joy in Tina's day. You hear that laughter? She's really having a great time now. This is an abusive relationship.
And
that's what I have to deal with. Look, my parents thought that I was a fancy Dan. That's the truth of it. They thought, what do you mean, aw? They just thought that I...
They thought you loved yourself.
No, I never said that. Look, I don't know. I just know that I didn't feel like the person they envisioned me to be was who I was, and I'm sure a lot of us feel this way. So when your teacher comes to you, as we have in question number two, and says your child refuses to speak in class and you have an image of your child as being a chatty Cathy back home, this is all part of you coming to learn who your kids are.
I think that's really important, Charlotte. Yeah, you're
Charlotte and Tina, myself and my husband love your show, and I'm getting in touch for a little bit of help with our larger-than-life six-year-old girl. We have the most talkative child. However, my child apparently refuses to speak in class. Her teacher doesn't seem to believe us when we describe how chatty she is at home. Well, that's crazy, because teachers have to know the difference between home life and school life. It's very stark sometimes. Is there anything we can do, though, to help her be more herself, be her home self, I guess, at school? Is this even a worry?
See, I don't think it is. I don't think it is a worry. This child is 6 years old, yeah? Mm-hmm. Okay, and they're obviously very happy in their home life, which is lovely to hear. Oftentimes, the biggest friction teachers and parents have is that they are getting presented with two different types of kids at school. And this isn't a massive behaviour. But sometimes when your child has a massive behaviour at school, it's very hard to get the parents to take it seriously, because they'll be like, well, they don't do that at home. Mm. And you're like, well, they're doing it at school. Mm. I feel like, of course, this teacher should be encouraging this child to have more speaking opportunities. This child is obviously not very comfortable at school. There's a fear there. She's not being how she is at home because she doesn't feel as safe at school. So that's something the teacher should take seriously and work on. But I don't think it's a worry, because plenty of kids, including myself, I was super shy at school. Like, I used to pray that the teacher wouldn't call on me to read out of my book. Like, that's how shy I was at school. Primary school, I was just the worst. And at home, I never stopped talking. I think some kids just are a little bit shyer at school, and it takes a really great teacher to reach them and bring them out of themselves.
Do you think you could have been reached?
Yeah.
Because you were never talkative, ever.
What?
In any class.
Oh, in primary school, no. But you know what, I had
in college, you were the same way with tutorial.
Oh, terrified, yeah. And you know what?
I'm saying that you feel like that could have been.
But I associated different. With the same thing. Most of my tutors in UCD were male, and most of my teachers in primary school were male. And I really, really didn't like how they would be, how they'd speak. Well, my teachers in primary school, look, I loved my primary school, but I was afraid of most of my teachers, and they were shouty and scary. And like, I remember being pulled out of the classroom for not getting the name of the sun right in Irish, which of course is green, and that being poked into my chest, you know, like, why would a child want to speak out when they're afraid? Now, I'm not suggesting this child is afraid, but I am saying they don't feel as safe as
well,
they do at home.
They are afraid of something. I mean, they would be chatting away if they were comfortable.
But we're so lucky now. School has changed so much. All this teacher has to do is introduce more conversation time into the... Like, we weren't allowed conversation time.
Yes.
Whereas now she can be like, okay, everyone on the carpet, let's talk about this. Who has opinions on this? Eventually that child will join in. Never point her out and put pressure on her. But
is
eventually...
that something is happening on the playground that's a bit more...
Oh, God. You know my opinions on playgrounds. There's always something happening on the playground. I think if any parent went into a school at playtime, they wouldn't send their kid to school again. Like, it's awful. It's a jungle out there.
Yeah, I believe it.
You see some of the...
We remember it.
Yeah, you see some of the saddest things you'll ever see in your life at playtime. Obviously, there's days when they're having the time of their life and it's fun. But you will see just heartbreak on the playground. I mean... No. Yeah.
I remember girls that were sweetness and light in the classroom being terrors on the playground.
Well, it's like they use the playground as a place where they can put people in their place. You're not playing with it. I mean, when you see that, I had to do playground duty for 2 years in England. In England, Ireland, every teacher has to do their day, their turn. But in England, it's very much, oh, it's your turn to do that now. I don't do that job anymore. I mean, I found it very hard not to react as if I was friends with the kids who were getting picked on, because I'd be like, what? We don't talk to each other like that. Like, and, you know, policing the playground does work, but are playgrounds being policed enough? I don't think so. Mm.
So if something she fears that, like, that would be the biggest fear for me here listening to this. If this was my kid, I would be thinking, okay, so either... the teacher is terrifying my child, or there's someone in the class she's afraid to appear foolish in front of.
Absolutely. Or she actually just doesn't know what's expected of her in school.
Mm.
And that can be the number one thing.
She's seeing others speak out.
You know, but she's only six. And a lot of 4 or 5, 6 year olds, and sometimes men who are like 44 year olds, need to be told exactly what's expected of them in a situation. She might not know she's even allowed. She might not even know, like, at school you're allowed, put up your hand if you have an opinion and talk. Sometimes you really have to spoon feed your kids the stuff they're allowed to do. Like, a lot of the time, it's really important that a teacher tells the kids, you can go toilet whenever you want, because some kids will think they're not allowed. And then that comes, it gets
big
loads
problems.
Of wets. Or if you're hungry, tell me, because of course you need to eat when you're hungry.
So the first thing this person should do is?
I think this person should not worry so much about it, but definitely have a meeting with the teacher where they say, I'd like for you to help my child build up on their conversational skills and their confidence skills. I'd like you to do this by maybe having more conversation time in the classroom, but also to know in your heart that it is okay if your child isn't as chatty at school. Maybe tell them, maybe talk a bit more positively about school. You know,
or your
lead,
own memories of school.
Your own memories of school. Maybe slip into conversation, you know, things you're allowed to do at school. You don't have to just sit there and be quiet all day, you know.
It could also be, and this does have, like, I have so much faith and respect for teachers, but it can, like you said at the start of this, it can literally be the issue with this particular teacher.
Yeah.
That, you know, maybe that kind of conversation space isn't available.
Absolutely.
But most teachers will want the best out of all of their kids, and will want, and is probably, this has come up because they'd like to hear from her.
Yeah.
So they may be pushing an open door with this, I think this is one we'll have to come back to in a later
it's
episode.
It's very
to
cute
hear.
Though, isn't it? I mean, you probably can't understand it because you were so outspoken as a kid.
Mm.
But I definitely was like afraid to make a noise in case I got in trouble. Definitely at school.
And what kind of trouble were you thinking?
Well, I guess my brother had gotten in a lot of trouble. And I was aware that the teachers weren't fans of him.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I don't want to be getting in trouble too. Mm,
that's something this mother doesn't include.
Yeah.
Is the other child a little bollock? I'm not calling your brother a bollock.
Well, he was bringing knives and matches to school. He was 24.
He was not. So on the way to Donegal this weekend for the show up in Donegal, Tina and Mikey with me. Rare enough to have both of you with me on these trips. We listened to a little bit of a brand new book called Misunderstood, and it's about a basketball player who I loved so much, Allen Iverson.
And now, weirdly, I also
Tina was
loved
in love with Allen Iverson. But
I loved
in
his
the
spunk,
90s,
his spirit.
His spunk and his spirit, the most white person description.
Oh, no. I did love his spirit.
You're a complete game changer in terms of the game, fashion, style.
Well, you just seem like such an underdog.
And completely hated by the institution and the white establishment at the time.
He was also tiny for a basketball
sent
player.
Sent to jail in his final year of secondary school for a crime he clearly did not commit, but he was pinned for. If you want your kid to have some gratitude for how fortunate their situation is, even giving them a sparse overview of the insane poverty.
Insane
that these
poverty.
People like Allen Iverson have dragged themselves up from. No light, no phone.
He's only a few years older than us. It's hard to believe he grew up starving.
Starving.
His mother trying her best. Just no money in the house. And yet, he's a freak of nature when it comes to all these sports. He's unbelievable.
Well, this was the other thing that I don't think any of us really understood was how good he was at American football, too.
And how late he came to basketball.
Basketball was an afterthought. And I say this to springboard into our final question, which is about when you feel like your kid is just off the rails and, you know, you're trying your best to give them everything you can. Their problems are all first world problems. And all you're being met with is derision and anger.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, for me, the hardest part of dealing with that kind of behavior is you know that there's an unhappiness in your kid too.
Yeah.
They're not acting out for no reason. So you're like, well, what is it? Why is making them this unhappy?
Well, let me get the question out here so that you guys can understand the situation this poor parent is in. And again, maybe this is also part of you feeling grateful for exactly the situation that you're in. And we'll try and have Tina come up with a strategy here to help. My son is 13 and is in the 9th grade. So obviously one of our American listeners, shout out to everybody over there. He causes a lot of trouble.
Oh.
Doesn't study at all. When I ask him to study, he starts shouting, being rude, hitting, and using abusive language. After a few moments, he then apologizes. But if I ask him to memorize even a few big questions, he again starts misbehaving. He has a sister and he hits her too and insults her. He uses very foul language with me and swears, and when I punish him, he becomes even more disrespectful. Even if I ignore him, he doesn't let me stay at peace. I'm fed up with the situation. Today he even insulted my parents. He only
that's
cares about food. Now that's one of the funniest lines in the email. I never
relate
laugh
to
at
that
the situation
because
Tina appreciates food more than anybody I know.
I only care about food too.
He feels regret sometimes, but then my anger does not cool down. I have treated him with a lot of love and tried everything, but nothing helps. Tina, please help me.
This is a really hard one. I've read through that question a few times, and the sense I get is, of course, mom is at the end of her tether.
Yep.
And I feel like she's admitting to having going to anger. And when both of you are in a temper, then the situation is completely out of control. You need to choose a way you're going to react and behave with this kid, and you need to try your best to stick to it. And if you're not ready to do that yet, don't commit to it, because you've got to be so ready or it's not going to work. Like, you getting angry with this kid is giving him massive amounts of attention. So it's just going to drive it that he will try and seek out that massive attention from his mother again. I have over-explained this a million times, but every single time a child will seek out the negative, because when we're angry with our child, we actually take the time to look at them and be with them. And they want that interaction and that intimacy so much, they don't care if you're shouting at them, because during that shouting they feel seen.
Right, so before we get to what the actual approach is, and I have a feeling I know what needs to happen just from years of doing this podcast with you. 13 is tricky, and a period when a lot of parents struggle, because you go from being the star of the show, their favorite thing in the world.
I think moms particularly struggle with this.
The hugs and the snuggles. My mommy's the best.
Yeah, and then there's a period of rejection where they're like...
It's like a breakup.
Yeah. I found it really hard. Like, and I was trying my best to be respectful, but then I was like, I miss my baby so much. It's a real gear change, and it happens fast. And they're changing so much. And I guess understanding the changes inside of them will help this mom. I mean, some of the moods and reactions aren't even really within his control, because like the hormones and all these new feelings he's having, he's very confused. You know, it's very confusing time for boys.
Well, also, we don't really have a great model anywhere for how to navigate this period with respect and dignity for their space and their changing into youth and young manhood, and specifically the lads I'm talking about here.
Yeah, and I think it's a different generation of moms. It's not moms who'll go, oh, well, that's how he is now, and I just have to... It's moms who are pushing back against it, being like, you don't get to talk to me like that. Whereas a lot of these men were mollycoddled from their teens into the grown-ups, and they were their mother's pride and joy.
Which men?
You know, all your generation
me,
of men.
Yeah. My guys.
You know the way, like, oh God, you couldn't expect him to do anything. Sure, he's a boy, isn't he dealing with enough? Whereas now moms are like, get off your arse, get up. I don't care what kind of mood you're in.
That is not
my job. That's everyone's job. And that's a good thing, but it means there's far more friction between moms and teenage sons now.
My heart goes out to this woman, because obviously a habit has formed. She said that she can describe how it goes.
Yes.
The angry words, the hitting or whatever with the sister, then the regret. And I think that's probably the positive to focus on.
He's
still regretting it and going,
that's like, a major positive.
If we could recommend the book again from Richie, Let's Talk, it's called, what's Richie's second name?
Sadlier,
sorry. Yeah. Just drew a blank there.
We bought so many copies of that book because every time we give it to our kids, they keep going missing.
he talks over and over again about boys specifically and impulse control. And it probably helped his mom too to understand.
Yeah, that's the main thing. It really does help you because, again, as a mother, we don't really understand. It's a very different experience to be a teenage girl. And of course, being a teenage girl is horrific and all the changes they have to go through. But it's very hard to relate. It's like, I found it hard to relate. Like, and there's me, you know, trying my best to be so informed. I was still frustrated by the whole thing. And it is short-lived. And actually made easier when you have a bit more understanding for what that's happening to them. But it's still not acceptable on any level to be abusive and hitting your mother and your sister. And I mean, there's certain things that just are not okay.
But that's it escalating. right? That's it escalating. And that escalates when your first reaction to a poor reaction is to go above that yourself.
And very hard and not
I found, certainly with the Richie Sadlier book, introducing the language of impulse control and getting right, well, that's your first reaction. Mm-hmm. This is your first response. And they're not totally reliable. That actually bringing that into the conversation is going to be game-changing, because your kid isn't totally aware.
No, no.
That, I do have these big responses, but he's admitting that he then regrets those.
Yes.
So let's see how it's going to work. How does it tend to work? Walking it through in a reflective meeting with him about, well, how are you tending to react when things aren't what you'd like?
Yeah.
You go big, and then you feel sad.
And look, the if they're going to have the meeting, the number one thing I think they need to talk about is schoolwork and homework, because what she's doing is not working. Okay, he's not interested and he's not having a good time, but her getting involved is not working. They're having a lot of arguments there. I think they need to talk about how he has a responsibility to do his homework. Mm-hmm. It's very much his responsibility.
Yeah.
He is 13 years old now. You cannot keep holding his hand. You need to step away. He is going to choose whether to do his homework or not. You've
and
tried
face
your
the consequences of that.
You get to remind him to do it, but unless he asks you for help, you really need to be careful there, because you're giving, and it's not being received well.
Yeah, and we started this question with the discussion of gratitude and appreciation, and how will he ever appreciate it?
Yeah,
if it's looming over him, on top of him the whole time.
Yeah,
when he's got to actually ask, I'm stuck here.
Yeah,
I'm going to need this.
And her frustration is because she cares so much and she's like trying to help him, but he is not open to your help. So take that tension out of your evening by going, that is your responsibility. You'll face the consequences at school if you don't do it. I am here if you need me. I'm going now, because you're 13 and you should be able to do your own homework.
And what if the parents that are listening to this now are going, I don't think he's going to do it?
Well, I think they need...
sit on him.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to do it. Like, she's saying,
well,
I'm
why
asking
are these
him to do the
parents,
most basic.
Yeah.
He won't do that.
Why are these parents so embarrassed that they can't just take their journal and write in their journal, I tried to get my kid to do their homework, they refused? That's what happened. What are you protecting them from? Like, why can't you send an email to their tutor and say, look, I'm trying my best, he won't do it?
Well,
then
I
the school has the responsibility to try and talk to this child and explain. You're not on your own. And if you are, I think it's always much better as a parent. Hard to practice, I know this. But if they're refusing to do something, don't protect them. How many parents are out there doing projects and homework for kids?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Submitting
what are you showing
essays.
Them?
Yeah.
What are you teaching them? You're teaching them that there's always someone there to catch you when you fall. And that's just not life.
No.
That's not true. You're not teaching them any kind of culpability or responsibility. And I just think if your kid's refusing, tell the teacher.
Mm.
Don't protect them. You're protecting them from
he
what?
He doesn't sound like a complete renegade.
No.
He doesn't sound
He does
like,
sound unhappy though.
Yeah.
Even the food thing. I'm sorry. There's a reason he's eating.
But I think you hit on something really early on around the attention needed here.
Mm.
We're going to wrap this question very soon because we are running out of time. The time that you spend with this lad, a little bit more you and him time, I think will go a long way. I certainly feel that that's something in our own life that you need more of.
Yeah, but it's very hard
it's very
because
hard. You don't drive.
They don't want to... Oh, shame me on
I'm
the pod.
I'm not shaming you on the pod. You're
I'm
in
learning.
The middle of learning to drive, but I'm saying that like in the car is where everybody says you should talk to your teenagers.
Mm.
Because, first of all, they're trapped. But second of all, it's not face-to-face. Particularly with boys, it's looking straight ahead. It's either walking along or kicking a ball. You're not on top of them.
Yeah, but also it's much easier for the dad to hang out with a 13-year-old boy. A 13-year-old boy does not want to be seen with their mother.
And that's why the car's great.
Yeah, then you've got the options of you know, a movie, but then what movie do you watch with your son?
Sitting in silence together.
Remember that kid we saw in Wexford? That was horrific. We saw a kid, maybe 14 years old, get out of a car in the traffic, shouting, telling his mother to fuck you and stuff, right? And his mother's just looking into the distance. And the kid's obviously in a rush and stressed out, but still no excuse to be
She's giving him a lift into town. Yeah.
And then that kid gets stuck at a pedestrian light and the mom gets to drive by him. And I was like to Jerry, if I was that mom, I would have given him the finger, which obviously wouldn't have helped with his behavior.
He finishes the episode with, make sure to give him the finger first opportunity you get.
Like, thank obviously you. I would never practice that. But I thought if any mother deserved to do it, it was her. Yeah. Or even go up on the curb and drive over
Tina,
his feet.
Come on.
He was so bold.
He was a bold boy.
I couldn't believe it.
But I think that that's an example of the drive in the car backfiring. Yeah, it's not going to work every time. But your meeting is everything here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I would imagine that she sounds like, we don't know if dad's in the scene.
Yeah, it does sound like she's a single mom.
There's two moms, but everyone needs to sit down, including that daughter who's getting hit.
Yeah.
About what's acceptable in this house and what's beyond the pale.
Yeah, but you know the most important rule about a family meeting is, as the parents, you have to listen and not react.
Mm.
You can't use the meeting to take offense to anything that gets said.
Yeah.
And that is the hardest part.
Yeah, I find that in our meetings too.
Yeah.
Biting my tongue when you're saying stuff to me like, Jer, that's not to happen again. we've so much more questions to get to in up and coming episodes, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't email in.
Yeah.
Honey, you are ruining our kid at gmail.com.
We'll be back after the Halloween break. We hope everyone has a very special Halloween. Halloween's my favorite time of year. And also, Jarlett has a book coming out this Thursday.
This Thursday, lads. The perfect parenting book if you're worried
actually,
your kid is a gobshite. Yeah. Which clearly is a concern in this last question. this is a book for the times we live in. How many gobshites are we encountering?
How did you write that book? Where did you find the time? Honestly, I am so impressed.
I'm a great lad.
Also, he's adding loads of extra dates to his tour.
I am.
I'm very proud of Charlotte at the moment. This week.
This weekend, I'll be in the Spirit Store in Dundalk, but that's all sold out. I'll be in Chicago, two shows. One of them is completely sold out, and then there's back row seats available for the first night that have been released. So two shows there at the Den Theatre. Please come out. If you have friends in Chicago, come down.
Yeah, come say hello to us. Seats. And we don't have Mikey with us this time, so we don't have to run after shows. So
it's going to be a bit of a hang. It's going to be fun. I really think you're going to love this new show. It's really come together really fast. It's called Gas Man, and it's touring the world in 2026.
It really is. It's very exciting, Jerry. I'm very proud of you.
Well, the final stop for InBits, the previous show, the 2025 show, is of course Australia. Sydney, Perth, Brisbane, Melbourne, and then off to New Zealand for one night in Auckland. Most of these shows are on the verge of selling out, so if you have been holding off, go for it now, grab your tickets, and I will see you in November, and it will be very sad to you.
I can't believe you're leaving me and going
to
Australia. That's how good I'm. If you're wondering if I'm a good mom, that is my good momming. I am choosing to stay at home with my child who will not appreciate it instead of going to Australia. Yeah. In fact, my child will probably spend the whole time going, why didn't you just go with dad? And I'll be like, because I'm trying to be a good mom.
Thank you so much for this episode. You're a great mom. You're a great podcast partner. And we will see you guys in 2 weeks.
Okay, thanks, guys. Bye.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.